Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulged discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. And they're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Scrub Park. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back to the show. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. The Johnny B Show. 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. 9 to midnight. We're going to play a clip from that a little later. State Rep Anthony Sabatini called into the Johnny B Show to talk about his lawsuits about the mask mandate. He's caught a lot of heat in press, and maybe rightfully so to a certain extent. I don't know. I think they're a little tough on him, but we talked to him a little bit later, and he explains what the hell these lawsuits are about. Because when you hear the lawsuit, you go, why is he suing for this? Just wear the mask. Yeah, I tend to agree with you, but there's other things to consider that people don't consider because they can't look two steps ahead when something like this happens. So we're going to replay that interview from last Monday, I believe it was, on a Johnny B Show. And do check out the Johnny B Show at 9 to midnight on theboneonline.com or 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. Please subscribe to this podcast if you have not. Just go into iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, put in HMB Radio. Sometimes I do plan on putting up more stuff on the podcast feed. I'm tired, man. I have so many goals and aspirations for myself, but realistically, I'm just putting out, 20 hours of content a week. That's a good amount of content, and it's mostly for free. So if you're feeling generous, and you don't have to. I'm just saying, if you're feeling generous, I know times are tough. You can go over to hmbradio.com, go to the donation page, and there's a Venmo and PayPal. If you're feeling generous and want to put a tip in there, great. If not, screw you, man. No, I'm just kidding. It's all good. I totally get it. But, whatever. It's there. And whatever. I was talking with a friend of mine this week, a couple friends of mine, and I don't know why I can't just let things be. Just let people be who they are. I mean, I do let people be who they are, and I totally respect their freedom to be garbage. But it just it does annoy me. It does bother me from time to time. This week's trend that really bugged me, and I talked to another friend of mine who's also hates things as much as I do generally, he was not bothered by this, really. But for whatever reason, this just chapped my ass this week. And it was, I'm looking around on Instagram, which you can follow me over there at @home_made_man. And I'm scrolling through and I'm seeing a bunch of pretty ladies and with their black and white filters on. And it says, challenge accepted. And I go, what the hell is this challenge? What do you mean challenge accepted? And apparently, you know, doing some research on it, it's women supporting women. Because posting a picture of yourself with a black and white filter somehow magically does that. I don't know how, but it brings attention to their cause. I guess so, yeah, it brought attention. It made me hate look up what the hell was going on. And this particularly bothered me because they didn't even know, most of these people, what the black and white photos were. So after doing a little bit of digging, I found out it had something to do with Turkey and women's plights in Turkey or something. And I saw some of them change their captions later because they didn't know, you know, my friends that were doing this. And it bothered me because, it, like I said, it does nothing. These social media campaigns, yeah, it brings attention to it, but the people who are doing it aren't even aware. They need to bring bring attention to themselves. Don't give me homework to look stuff up. You look it up first and figure out exactly what the hell you're doing here. And a lot of them, you know, didn't bother, but some of them did change their captions, and kudos to you, I suppose, for doing it at some point. You should have done it before you post it, but whatever. And then some changed the meaning of it to mean just women support women in general, okay? Just whatever. And you go, okay, well, yeah. And I don't mind seeing pretty ladies put their selfies up on Instagram. I like that. I like seeing that. It makes my day better, generally. I go, well, you're a narcissist pig. But that's fine. Like, I have my own problems. Everybody's got their own things that are, you know, negative about them. I get it. Whatever. It's not a big deal. But to disguise your narcissism as activism just bothers me. And this has been a problem throughout my entire life where I can't let it go. I just can't, I have to say something, then I end up getting people mad at me for saying something. But, I mean, somebody has to do this stuff. I'm so tired of everybody's crap. We're getting closer to the election right now, and people are getting really bad. Really bad. Social media is not healthy. It's not a thing anybody should really do. My friends are getting particularly annoying, and they're full of it. I want to know if people really believe this stuff, or if we're just looking at, if it's one of those things where we're looking at the same things and I'm seeing a 6 and you're seeing a 9 because you're looking at it from a different angle. I try to put myself in those people's shoes to try to understand them and have some empathy. And that's another thing, the people who constantly preach empathy, they have the coexist bumper sticker on the back of their car. You know, those people tend to be some of the most vile human beings that I've ever come across. They would happily watch you be boiled alive if you dare voted the way they did not want you to. They want you dead. It's not just, they'll settle for your complicity, but, you know, they'd probably prefer to have you dead in a lot of occasions, unless they're really close friends with you. If they're kind of strangers, then yeah, they want you dead. If you're friends, they'd rather you comply. But I got into a few fights this week with friends of mine. I'm running in the park and in a very white part of St. Pete, and there's some kid spray painted ACAB on the road there, which the city of St. Pete still has not done anything about, and I even tagged them in a Twitter post. You would think that the public works would want to get that covered up, but as of right now, no, they have not, or at least as of Friday, what is today, the 31st of July. They have not covered that up yet, and I don't really care, but I was just pointing out that, you know, there's no police presence at this park, you know? The only police presence is there is cops eating their sandwiches at lunch, maybe, in their cruiser. It's not a bad part of town at all. Police brutality isn't an issue there. And then I got replies, well, it doesn't make it less true. And I go, well, first of all, it does make it less true. I mean, just for the sequitur, all ACAB stands for All Cops Are Bastards, by the way, those of you who do not know that. It's a common vernacular used in those riots and in the graffiti and the stuff like that. So, not all of any. That doesn't exist. There's always outliers, whatever. Even if it's two freaks, they're still, that's not all. So even for that reason, it is false. But I don't agree with that sentiment. And I feel like it's a phrase that's more fashion than actually how people feel about the situation. It's just a cool thing to say. It's a signal to other people that you're down for the cause. Nobody can figure out. I talked to my friend in Portland this week who's going to a protest, I guess tomorrow on the 1st. And it's a girl, a lady, a woman. And I go, please be careful. I love you and I don't want you to be hurt. But she feels that it's important. I disagree with her, but she feels that it's important to get out there and take to the streets. And it's one of those things. Like I said, I'm seeing a 6, they're seeing a 9, and we're looking at the same goddamn stuff. And it just depends what news you watch is what you're going to, what perception you're going to have, I guess. I've looked at both sides, and I still tend to think that this is getting out of hand, and it's not really about police and justice anymore. This is something else. And I saw a Vanity Fair writer actually say that. And that's what I go, yeah, I think this is about something else, which was, he said, if Donald Trump just resigned, then this wouldn't happen. They wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't be rioting. And you go, okay, well, now I know what it's about. And that's what I suspected all along. They can't wait a few months until November and the new year because Trump's probably going to lose. They just want him out now. But I don't think that it's going to change when Joe Biden's president because, look, I think Joe Biden talks a big game, and I think that he is trying to get down with the progressive cause, and I think he's saying whatever he has to say right now in order to do these things, but he's an old-school corporate Democrat. He's a law and order dude, too, so don't let him fool you. He introduced the crime bill that locked up millions of black people. He's very happy to lock up criminals and whatever. He has a history of that and has shown that, so... I think he's a law and order dude in his heart. He's an old school, old man, old dotard. Unless his VP candidate, who's probably going to be announced by the time this airs, but I don't know, might be some freak. I don't know, it's possible. I think they're going to be very careful about who they pick. They're going to do a safe choice. I think it's going to be Kamala Harris. I think that's who they wanted all along. I think that's who they wanted as their nominee. She checks all the boxes. She's a lady. She's a prosecutor. She's a person of color. She's got everything that they wanted. Tulsi Gabbard sunk her ass in the debates, and that's why they hated Tulsi Gabbard. So I think it's going to be Kamala Harris, and she ain't going to take any of this crap either. Don't let her fool you. These people will... Joe Biden said that people who tear down statues and stuff like that should be prosecuted and should be controlled. So don't let them fool you. I'm not sure if this will stop if Joe Biden gets elected or if it would get worse or better or maybe stay the same. But it seems like the people you're dealing with in some of these cities like Portland are not reasonable. And they don't have a cohesive message either. I asked my friend in Portland, what the hell do you guys, what are you doing? Like, what do you want? And she didn't really know. I mean, just outside the basic talking points. But there is no cohesive language or cohesive unit and a leader. So everybody's, it's just chaos. It's a mess. And I'm trying to just keep my mouth shut the best that I can. I talk about a little bit of stuff on here. I'm trying to keep it more local on here though. That's what it's about. That's how this podcast started. It's supposed to be about local Tampa Bay stuff and interviewing artists. And, you know, I just don't have the energy or the time to chase people down anymore to come in here. And it's COVID and I don't really want anybody in here anyway. I don't really want anybody in here anyway, to tell you the truth. I moved to a new spot from when I was downtown, and it's tiny. It's just room enough for just me. Even when Anna's in here, she's a very tiny lady, so we kind of maneuver around each other. But even that's a bit much. It's very small. So I kind of try to pick up local Tampa stories and talk about that. But, I'm just trying to keep my mouth shut. But I'm also really sick of everybody's garbage. And that's where I'm at this week. I don't know how you feel. How's your social media experience going? How's conversations with your friends and family? Are they productive? I doubt not. I'd like to hear about it. 813-693-2124. All right, look, so before we get into Rep. Anthony Sabatini to tell us about his mask mandate lawsuits with many counties throughout Florida, I want to say thank you very much to Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in victory. Y, salonandspa.com, 89084 Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. They are still cutting hair. They have COVID precautions in place, so make your appointment today. Make it online, TruvySalonAndSpa.com, and also to NTT Fitness and NTTNutrition.com. Head over there. Use code LEVELUP15 at checkout. I got all my friends and family on this stuff now. They love it. We had the pork El Pastor this week, and it was freaking amazing. I swear these meals get better and better every week. They are very, very good, and they are very good for you. Check them out. Use code LEVELUP15 at checkout. Tell them I sent you, NTTNutrition.com. All right, so with that, I just want to jump right into this short interview we did with Rep. Anthony Sabatini, a Florida state representative here in the state of Florida. He is suing Broward, Pinellas. He's got a bunch of lawsuits about the masks, and he's going to elaborate a little bit on them because you read blurbs and you don't really get the whole story, I think. So let's hear it in his words. Here is Rep. Anthony Sabatini.
Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Never been better. How about you?
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. So first of all, thanks for calling in, man. I know you're a busy, busy guy. So we really appreciate you calling into a late night radio show with us, our schmucks here in Tampa. We really appreciate it.
Well, actually, I prefer that. What bothers me is when I call and they say 7:30 in the morning or 6:30 in the morning. When I get those are annoying. That's Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, the big talk right now is the lawsuits. I guess Broward and Pinellas County about the mask mandates. Now, when you read the headlines, you know we talk about this all the time. You're not really getting the whole story. Obviously, it depends on who is printing the headline and where the narrative is coming from, which outlet you're reading or you're listening to. So, I mean, I've dug a little bit into it and heard your side of the argument on a couple of the interviews I've seen that have popped up. But I just really would love to talk to you about it to get your perspective on everything, because I don't think people are getting the full story. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely not. Most people have no idea what's going on. And, you know, they're dependent upon a few news headlines, which don't even cite sources or evidence. They cite authorities who don't want to cite sources or evidence. So everything's like third or fourth hand information.
Gotcha. So when it comes to the mask mandates, what is the main reason? Because you're saying it's unconstitutional. If you could explain to our listeners exactly what that means.
Well, you know, because it's a two-part debate. Everybody wants to talk about the science, and I'm more than happy to debate people on the science. We had a whole six-hour court hearing in one of my lawsuits about it, and the science is certainly on the side of the skeptics, in my opinion. But I really try to focus on the role of government and the constitutionality of it, and this is why I believe it's unconstitutional, because at the end of the day, every law has to have a rational basis. It has to have a rational relationship to some government objective. And in this case, the objective is flattening the curve. That's what we've always heard, you know, 15 days to slow the spread. That's what they said 5 months ago. And so the idea was spread people out and do all these things. And the masks were a thing they threw in there. Well, there's no evidence to show anywhere that the masks have actually been put into place that it's really flattening the curve. In fact, most places where they had the mask ordinance, the curve pretty much stayed where it was or got worse, especially Miami. They've had the mask ordinance for about almost 90 days now, and it's worse off. So the biggest thing is it lacks a rational basis to its purported objective. But in addition to that, if you look at the Florida Constitution, there's some other provisions that it conflicts with. I think the most important one is the Privacy Clause, Article 1, Section 23 of the Florida Constitution. We have a really robust Privacy Clause that we, as the people, amended into the Constitution in 1980. And it was supposed to be an amendment that says, hey, you have, you know, privacy over your own body, your medical information, your medical decisions, your own private information, all different types of things that privacy was being ignored in this, you know, fast-moving world. And so it's clear to me that requiring that everybody wear a medical device for their own and safety is a medical decision, and it's something that has never been done before. Local government has never mandated everybody wear masks all day. In fact, most experts have always said, "Don't do that. Do the opposite." And it's never been mandated at any level, even at the local level. And so I think it really conflicts with the privacy clause of the Florida Constitution, the due process clause, as I kind of outlined first about arbitrariness, and then equal protection. If you look at some of the carve-outs in the law, it's impossible to make sense of them. One of the lawsuits I'm involved in Orlando, it literally has the language, if you work for government, this does not apply to you. You do not have to wear a mask. And so their reported reason is that, oh, well, we're going to have a policy for the, people who work for government to wear masks at certain times and places, but it doesn't make sense why you would cover them out of the law. So, and then finally, a lot of times local governments just simply don't have the authority to put these in the place to begin with. They have a code of ordinances. They have what they call a charter, a county or city charter, and it says what they can and cannot do. It's like a foundational document, kind of like their constitution. And, of course, this stuff is not in there. So if you look at their emergency section or just their general powers, it doesn't say that they could do anything like this. And so, therefore, they can't, but they just do it anyways. It's kind of like a bluff. In Key West, they had this thing called an emergency directive, which was their mask ordinance. They put into what they call an emergency directive. They finally made it an ordinance, which is like an actual law this week, or actually about 6 days ago. But for the last 100 days, it's never been on the book. So anybody who's been cited with a fine or arrest there, they were cited illegally. There was no basis for the law because they just created this thing called an emergency directive. It's very strange and messy, and it's highly illegal. Sorry, that was a mouthful.
No, that was great. So your main gripe is that it's being written up just too vaguely, incorrectly, and it's I can see where you're coming from there. Now, as far as private companies that have a mask rule, you're not griping about that. You're saying like if Target says you have to wear a mask, then that's a private company, that should be okay.
Two things there. Yeah, me personally, I really don't have, and I hate to admit this because I know a lot of folks who are on my side on these debates disagree with me on this, but I really don't have an issue with the company requiring it. And the reason is it's their private property. It's
right.
Their business. They should have the right to choose. I'm not here to tell private businesses how to act. I just want the opportunity for private businesses to be able to make that decision to begin with.
Right.
Most of them are only being crazy about it and punishing people because they're afraid the government's going to come down on them. And they also think this other thing's going to happen, which is liability. So, not to get off topic, but we also got to pass liability protection and tort reform as fast as possible in the legislature, because if we don't, then businesses are going to continue to have these heinous mask policies simply because they don't want to get sued. But back on that subject again, there is one concern I have with private businesses and the mask, though. And that's actually from the employee's perspective. So when somebody calls me and says, oh, I'm trying to go to CVS and they made me wear a mask, I get it. It's annoying, whatever. But when somebody tells me, hey, listen, I'm working at a car mechanic or I'm working at a car dealership, it's 100 degrees, it's Florida, and they're making me wear a friggin' mask 8-10 hours a day, mm-hmm. That's when I think business is crossing a line. And I'm not a big regulatory guy, but when you're talking about health and safety and the well-being of employees who are working like hard blue-collar jobs, I think the state should, and the governor especially, should wipe out the ability of businesses to mandate a mask in any kind of industrial situation. I just think it's absolutely wrong that you're punishing people who are already working these tough jobs into wearing a mask so they can barely breathe. So there is a role for state and courts to play when it comes to private businesses, but it's not the one you would think of, like just somebody's mad because they have to go to Burger King and they have to put a mask on. It's more about the employees themselves.
Right. I also think about how you have an employee that's making minimum wage that has to become a security guard now, and they're not trained for that. They didn't get into the into the grocery store business to have to approach somebody that's coming in looking for conflict. Sometimes, I was at a Walmart myself over the weekend, and a guy ripped his mask off after he passed security guard, and he was basically daring anybody to approach him, and it was a, he had an aggressive kind of stance, and I was like, man, that's got to suck for every employee that has to say something to this guy, and they got to worry about this guy kicking their butt or something like that. So I do see where that causes an issue, and
you know. I've wanted to you're exactly right, I've wanted to include that horrible bad policy. The policy implications of doing this is what you just described. The policy implications are you've just made every small business basically a law enforcement agency with all these new duties and responsibilities. By the way, they're already, you know, under enormous stress in an economic recession, and now you're putting this on their plate. So there's horrible policy concerns, but a lot of those I don't list in the lawsuits because obviously it's more important to focus, you know, exclusively on the law. There was one thing you said a few minutes ago that I completely forgot to mention, kind of my general introduction of what the lawsuits are all about, and it's the only thing I think I missed, which is as part of the due process clause, it's important for every law that you enact to be specific. If reasonable, intelligent people think it can mean two or three different things, a court should strike it down as a violation of due process because of its vagueness. And they call that in legalese, they call it void for vagueness. So, and this really takes place with the exceptions. If you read these mask ordinances, they'll have all these exceptions. I read one today. We just filed against Gadsden County, a rural county in the Panhandle today. I filed a lawsuit about 4 o'clock, and it had one of the worst of all, but it's demonstrative of how all their exceptions are, but it was particularly the worst one I've read. And it said, anybody who has trouble breathing doesn't have to wear the mask. Now, I like that. I like that exception. I want it to be in there. I don't want anybody who has trouble breathing to be forced to wear a mask. But more importantly, how is a police officer, a code enforcement officer, going to objectively figure out
if
you have trouble breathing, right? So that's a completely and totally subjective standard. And let's say we did trust some government professional to identify that. You want somebody who's an absolute pro, right? I mean, nearly a medical doctor. Like, we're not going to arrest you or put you in jail and cite you. And, of course, it's a second-degree misdemeanor in this county, like it is in most places, if you're not wearing a mask. So clearly you'd want a professional. No, but they're having a street police officer say, oh, they're the authority on whether you have a trouble breathing or not. So I bring that up as an example. They all have these exceptions. They're extremely unclear and vague. And so it's another thing that makes them unconstitutional.
Right. Now, you have something else?
Yeah, well, this is my concern about this whole mask thing. Now, me personally, I think the masks do work from the research that I've done, and I choose to wear a mask when I go to the grocery store, not if I'm at home or anything. I think that's overkill, but I live by myself. But the big thing with when government gets involved in stuff like this, people are out of work right now, but a record number amount of people are out of work. And then you're talking, well, if you can't pay the fine, then what's the consequence that's going to happen? Are they going to throw you in jail? I mean, we have many stories about the jails and prisons in Florida being overrun with COVID. So, I mean, you're putting people's lives at risk potentially by not wearing the mask, which is putting people it's just a quagmire that seems like there's no good solution to this stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and once again, it's like I'm a state rep. I'm an attorney. So I try to have one conversation about it when we talk about law. But yeah, I'm always tempted to dabble more in the policy. And I'm obviously attracted to filing lawsuits, you know, to be completely honest, because I think it's just such horrible policy. And you bring up another really good point, which is we're in the middle of an absolutely massive economic recession, double-digit unemployment. Small businesses, if they're lucky, can stay open, but they're still at 50% occupancy, plus everyone's terrified to spend the little money they do have. And so now you're hitting people with $500 fines. Fort Lauderdale, we sued them Saturday. They have language in their ordinance that says, takes place here. It says, if what we think you're doing will cause irreparable harm, and that's completely determined by them. So let's say you threw a big party and you ignored their law, and they say, well, that's irreparable harm because you had 100 people. They could fine you up to $15,000 per instance for violation. So that's completely insane. And then even the smaller cities are doing $500 fine. St. Augustine, $500 fine. DeLand, $250 fine. Gadsden County, $200. So long story short, yeah, you're destroying people's lives. And the truth is, why? Because you want people to wear masks? The truth is, most people are going to wear the mask no matter what because they want to err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
You're going to get voluntary compliance even in places that don't have the mask mandate. So why create these heavy-handed criminal and civil penalties when you know most people are going to wear them anyway?
What happens? Where does that money go from the fines? Does it go to the state or to the city in their coffers, or what do they do with it?
It's an interesting question. I used to be a city commissioner, so I know a little bit about it. That money would go straight to the city. There's no strings attached. So technically, they could use it for ad valorem, which is, you know, general fund money that, you know, general fund. They could use it for whatever fund purpose they want. But the truth is, to play devil's advocate and to defend them a little bit, the cost of prosecution, which the city or county has to bear to get the money from you, is going to outweigh how much they get. So the truth is, if they hit you with a $500 fine, it's not like it's really helpful to them, because by the time they get the money and the prosecution dealing with all the paperwork, it's not really a net plus. Mm. Now, the big cities like Lauderdale, if they can pass out $10,000-$15,000 fines, yeah, unfortunately they'll have the perverse incentive to try to do it more frequently, as frequently as possible, to try to cash in.
Okay, so it's not like there's incentive for these cities so they'll get just more revenue coming in or anything like that.
Because the way the statutes are written, they themselves have to bear the cost of the prosecution, and so it usually doesn't help them out.
Okay. Awesome. We're talking to State Representative Anthony Sabatini. He's on the hotline with us right now discussing the mask mandates. He has lawsuits going on right now in Broward and Pinellas County. Is there any more that I don't know about?
Oh, yeah, we have 12. Today was number 13.
12,
actually.
Okay.
So
I got you.
I can try to take a swing at, if you want, I can read them off in my head. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I have a list right here in my hand.
Oh, perfect.
Seminole, Miami-Dade, Orange County, Leon, Hillsborough, St. Augustine, Jacksonville, Martin County, DeLand, County of Pinellas, Key West, Broward, and Gadsden, and then Collier County will be filed this week.
Right. Now, have you seen any research? Because you said that most people would voluntarily wear the mask if it wasn't a mandate. Have you seen any research on that? Like, is there a percentage of folks been surveyed to say that they would wear the mask if it was voluntary?
Yes, I have. I've actually seen polls and demographic, you know, numbers about how many people are wearing masks in states that don't have the mandate.
Right.
In cities and counties that don't have the mandate versus other, and they're roughly comparable. And then second of all, I'd point out, you know, in a court of law, it would, in my opinion, the burden would be on the actual government to prove that they could not achieve compliance without it. So even though I do have that evidence, I feel like it would be on them to prove that it doesn't exist, because if you're going to impede someone's liberty, you're going to impede somebody's privacy, prove to me that you have to have this law. You know what I'm saying? Prove to us that if you didn't have this law, you wouldn't be able to flatten the curve and all the rest of it. And of course they can't do that.
Okay. I was interested because, like Will, my co-host here, I also wear a mask when I go into the grocery store and things like that. But to me, I do it to make the people around me comfortable. It just seems like to me, it's not really a bother for me. Like it doesn't affect me. I breathe okay with it on. My better half, she's actually a COVID nurse in a hospital and working the unit. And so she wears one for 12 hours at a time. And she tells me, yeah, it sucks, but I can breathe. It's fine. You know, but, you know, I do understand that there are people that have different circumstances and all that. But I wear it to err on the side of caution and to make people around me comfortable. So I would be one of those voluntary folks if it wasn't mandated. But I would be interested to know how many people, if they weren't pressured by the government, would be even more apt to wear it because they don't feel like they're being forced to be compliant and that they would, you know, it's almost like a kid when you tell them you can't do this, and then they want to do it more, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And they're definitely creating a distaste in people's mouths. And, you know, the media has definitely tried to attack, you know, the 40% or so of people who, you know, I think it's roughly less than half who are vocally against the mandates, just because, you know, a lot of Republicans are still divided on them. But they've tried to parody them as people who are just purely anti-mask. And I've gotten that a lot in interviews. I'll say, why are you anti-mask? I'm like, well, actually, I do have a mask that somebody bought me. And, I'm a big foodie. I go to restaurants, of course, in urban areas where they require them. I'll put it on. I don't mind. But my thing is the government. You know, you're creating a government that's going to be so large as to, you know, create these mandates and enact them. That's a lot of taxpayer money. It's a lot of police. That's a lot of compliance. It's too much government. I don't want the size of government to exist. And that's really the issue. And the media's kind of ignored that distinction.
Well, that's how it's been framed. Whenever I read something about you, it's not very nice, I would say. Well, and I know that there's more. Yeah, I just know that there's more of the story to that, because it just doesn't make sense to be like, nah, we just don't want to wear a mask, and that's why. I'm here to represent the people. And that's a totally valid concern, and that was my feeling too, is when you're going to start penalizing citizens for something that maybe the government has no part in. And it's not like, you know, we see this with when you make laws, it doesn't mean people are going to follow them automatically. They just go, yeah, we should just have a nationwide, you know, mask mandate. And, well, people who want to wear them are going to wear them. People who don't still aren't.
It's
and then
proven.
You're just going to, like, what are you going to do? Throw people in prison for not wearing a mask? I mean, I just think it opens up a big can of worms. But they just can't get past that. It's like just this, well, if you mandate it, then you have to do it, period. And then you just move on from there. They can't think two steps ahead.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. And it's important for several reasons. One, you know, the actual cost that you're going to bear as a society. Do you really want to throw everybody in jail? Do you really want to put a police officer in every corner? But also just the demoralization. You don't want laws that are just going to criminalize people who think differently. I mean, if people don't want to be around someone who's wearing a mask and think it's a danger, well, then guess what? Let the business decide. You know, if a business says, hey, I want everyone to wear masks who comes to my restaurant because I want all my customers to feel comfortable, they should have that right. But when the government comes in and overrides the business owner who knows his community, knows his consumers, knows his neighbors, and tells them that they have to do one or the other, it's wrong. I was thinking the other day, I haven't said it yet in an interview, but I said, I would be just as mad and just up in arms about this if the government made a law that says no one's allowed to wear a mask. I know it's the complete and total opposite thing, but if the government made a law, as silly as it sounds, saying no one's allowed to wear a mask, I would be just as angry and just as vocal.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, and that's the thing that one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you on the show was to make it clear to folks. And I'm not going to bat for you because I know you and we're pals. And, you know, I mean, I am a registered Republican, but still, I'm pretty moderate on a lot of my issues. I try to see both sides of everything and try to rationalize everything that I see around me. And I also call out BS on both sides all the time. But I after reading on it and really paying attention to what you're doing with these lawsuits, I want people to know that, you know, you're not anti-mask. You just want them to have the choice, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all about choice. You know, if people can choose, I think they'll choose wisely. No, everybody's got the information. I don't think there's really all but a few people in this country who don't know the risks, the fatality categories, the hospitalization rates, all that. I literally just trust people to make their decisions. Some people are going to wear a mask all the time. Some very few, but the government doesn't know better than they do. It doesn't know better than they do in their businesses or, in the case of Broward County, in their household. Broward County literally just passed a law that says no more than 10 people inside your home except for your family. So if you literally had 10 people over your house and a neighbor suspected there was 10, they could literally do an anonymous police report. Cop could get a warrant for your arrest. They could kick your door open and arrest everybody. That is the law in Broward County. It's one of the only cases that I feel very good about winning because it's such an override of the Fourth Amendment. But that's what it's really all about. So yeah. I do appreciate you guys.
Yeah, no problem. And I see where the vagueness comes in, and I see where there's a real slippery slope. You know, you have a law like that with no more than 10 people, because on paper they're trying to prevent giant house parties and ravers like they're having in Miami and things like that. But on the other side of it, you have to worry about how much control government's having over you having 11 family members over for dinner. So, yeah, I totally get that, too. So,
exactly.
All right.
I was there on the show.
I got you. Well, I appreciate the call. Really do. And good luck with your political future and everything, all your endeavors and your lawsuits. It seems like you're pretty busy. So thanks for taking out some time with us tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys. Anytime. And if you have you know, another topic comes up, call me anytime. I'd love to come back on.
Appreciate it. All right.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. There you go. Representative Anthony Sabatini. Yeah, it's funny. I saw this week too, on Thursday, I think it was 500 people, 500 people were marching through St. Pete to raise awareness about human trafficking now, which is bad, but we do have a deadly pandemic that is ravaging this area in particular. And I'm looking at video from it that Catherine Hawley from Fox 13 put up. Very few masks here. So it seems to be only appropriate to wear the mask when it's not your cause. Representative John Lewis, civil rights hero and congressperson for many years, the Baltimore area, was passed away and was finally had his service this past week. And it was a packed church with a bunch of people in it. And yeah, they were wearing masks. A lot of them were, but you know, Herman Cain died too this week, former presidential candidate, black guy, CEO of Godfather's Pizza, but he's on the other end of the spectrum, and he got his media response was, well, he talked about not wearing a mask, and he was at the Tulsa Trump rally. He was in a building enclosed with a bunch of people, so it's different for them, but you know, they can, they're able to go ahead and have their church service, and while us normies have to have our remote funeral services for our friends and family. But the elites get to do what they want because that's the way it's always been. And unfortunately, I think that's the way it probably always will be. And even this march downtown, a lot of this stuff is just people bored. They're just bored. They've been locked away for too long and they want to get out there. And, you know, it's nice. You know, it's for a good cause, right? So you can't, it's hard to criticize. But the fact of the matter is you're in a big group of 500 people. And we've been hammered into us that you need to wear a mask, and none of them are doing it. And there's no criticism thrown their way in media about this stuff. Well, for me, you'll get it at least. Wear the damn mask if it's that big of a deal. Everybody needs to be doing it. I think it does work, honestly, from the research that I've done. I think it's probably the right thing to do is to wear the mask if you're gathering in a group like that. But can we wait? Everybody's aware of sex trafficking. It's terrible. Everybody knows about it, okay? Maybe let's just worry about one thing at a time right now. Call me crazy. Follow me on social media, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram, HMB Radio on Facebook. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there, Radio STPETE. Get in touch with the show at hmbradio.com. Give me a text or a voicemail. Let me know how you feel about any of this stuff. Happy to hear from you, 813-693-2122. I do hope you have a good week. Wear your mask, you know, or don't. I don't care anymore. Do whatever the hell you want. This is America, believe it or not, still barely for the time being. We'll see how it goes. Ay, ay, ay. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.